Hey Dean, how are you? Dean? It's not his usual spot. Hey Tim, have you seen Dean today? No? Oh man. He was supposed to watch the Amazon show. And I only watched the Netflix show. Okay, don't panic, don't panic. Okay, what can we do? What can we do? Tim, do you want to get on mic and fill in for Dean? No? You lost your voice. I can hear you fine. No, don't worry about it. Just play with the cat and I guess I'll make the best of this. Hello everybody. This is Ed, and Dean couldn't be bothered to show up this week, so I guess you get half the cast. This is a half cast. This is the half-assed half cast. We were supposed to watch two shows. Dean was supposed to watch the one on Amazon. I was supposed to watch the one on Netflix. So I guess you're only going to get Netflix today. Sorry if you only have Amazon Prime. But if you only have Amazon Prime, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed, actually. I don't think I'm that bold. Can't quite get myself off the old, red envelope, mainline right into my arm. But good on you. Yeah. So take a breather for this one, I guess, or not. I guess we'll make it kind of short since, it's half a cast. The show I was watching this week is a new Netflix original show called Sense8, just sort of like the word sensate, which is sort of like the word sensei, sort of. As is customary on this show, because we are busy guys and we have a limited amount of time, I only watched three episodes of this show. And, that will probably play into a bit of my perception of the show. So Sense8 is a movie that's split into a bunch of TV show episodes, basically. That's not fair. But up until this point, most of the Wachowski material we'd be familiar with came across through movies. The Matrix, Cloud Atlas, Jupiter Ascending, etc. The Wachowskis are very well known in Hollywood for being very good at spending lots of money, making really, really grand, pretty things that have very little content. And I think they've basically done exactly that here as well. But let me get a little bit more information to you before I start, just digging my claws right into it. The Wachowskis, you might have heard of them before, referred to as the Wachowski brothers. One of them is a trans person, and so is now has who was once Lawrence is now Lana, I believe. So they just decided, hey, we can't call ourselves brothers anymore. We'll just say Wachowskis, and that's just easier for everyone else. I mean, of the name Wachowski brothers, I would say that brothers was not the hardest thing to say in that proper name, whatever. But it's shorter. So the Wachowskis, who brought us The Matrix and The Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions and Cloud Atlas and Jupiter Ascending. I said all this already. Known for doing sci-fi, doing the same thing here. Sense8, as you might imagine, is about eight separate individuals who share a psychic bond. They don't necessarily know that, but through the show, you see them learning about this psychic bond. And something about this psychic bond may actually allow them to harness each other's skills and abilities to do things. Pretty cool premise, I think. Really cool when they did it a long time ago in a movie called The Specials, which was kind of a Mystery Men knockoff right around the same time, starring Thomas Hayden Church and Rob Lowe. And it is it's an often overlooked, I think underrated, not a great film, but pretty good. There's a character in there called Eight, which was a superhero who was eight separate conscious or separate bodies with one consciousness. So, not to say that this is, completely original, but they took it their own direction. It follows eight different people. They're all scattered all over the world. There's one in Chicago. There's one in Korea. There's one in Africa. There's a couple in Britain somewhere. There's one in Mexico. One in India. So they kept the 8 nodes of this network pretty spread out. And there's all kinds of stuff going on with each of the characters. So let's run down the senses, right? Sense 8. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, was the 8th sense psychic connection? I didn't think so. Yeah, so let's run them down. I mean, you got sight. That's one. I'm using it right now. You got hearing. I can hear my own voice right now. It's great. Taste. I used that earlier when I made myself some food. Touch. Using that right now to count on my fingers, each of the senses. Smell. My apartment doesn't smell the greatest right now. So using all of those, I'll see what's. Okay, sixth sense, that's the ability to see dead people. Seventh sense is proprioception. Look it up. Eighth, and the eighth sense, what is the eighth sense? Tim, what do you think? Oh, it's a sense of urgency, yeah. So not mental connections. But yeah, so these people, you know, they have this power, and they don't really know what's happening. It's unclear to me, and I think to the viewer, because I was the viewer through these first three episodes, how the power works. There's some theories about DMT. I don't know if you've ever heard of DMT before. It's a psychedelic drug, dimethyltryptamine. I think you smoke it. It causes people to have these really intense hallucinations. And the interesting thing about it, I suppose, is that many people who smoke it independently of each other, they seem to have a similar types of hallucinations. They hallucinate similar things. And so that has led a lot of people to believe that it's somehow connecting them some higher level of consciousness, which I think is actually maybe what they're going for here. I don't know. I didn't watch enough episodes to actually figure that out. But yeah, DMT. So I believe the Amazons discovered that. So props to them. But yeah, so it follows all these characters. As far as I know, I've never seen any of these actors in anything else. Maybe I have. They all have, you know, in the true sense of the Wachowski movies, wherein they've written them, they all have really strange names. I don't know if anybody out there saw Jupiter Ascending, that horrible, horrible movie. But, you know, you had some characters in there, like Balaam. That was a character in that show. That was the bad guy played by Eddie Redmayne from Britain. And, you know, characters like Diomika and so forth. And in Sensei, you have basically the same thing. The eight characters in the show are Cepheus. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's from Africa. Sounds like a pretty African name. Sunbach, Nomi, Kala, Riley, Leto, Wolfgang. Oh, there's one guy named Will. Okay. And then Daryl Hannah makes karaoke. She doesn't make karaoke. She makes a cameo in this movie. I keep calling it a movie. It feels like a movie to me. I don't know why. She plays, she's credited only as Angel in the call sheet, but she's actually like a hallucination of all these characters. So, I don't know. I mean, is she an angel? Is she not? Do we know? No idea. But, yeah, so it follows these people, and as you might expect, the character development that you'd normally expect to have happen during the course of the show goes at about 1/8 speed because of this. You can only, when you have 8 main characters, you can only dedicate 1/8 of screen time to them. So in 3 episodes, carry the 3, you've got a, you know, less than half of your time has been spent on development of any one character. So it gets a little bit difficult, and it jumps around a lot, and it's kind of hard to follow. Some things I like about this show, beautiful show. Very well filmed, very well shot. The scenes where they're, you know, bouncing back and forth and, you know, hallucinating each other or seeing each other in the mirror. Very cool, cool shots. That's about it, though. I think it's just really nice to look at with not much inside, you know. It's like a really ornately sculpted chocolate bunny that you get around the, you know, Easter holiday if you're into that sort of thing. You're just into chocolate bunnies. And you're like, man, this thing's going to be good. And then you take a bite and it's just completely hollow. And that's basically how I feel about pretty much everything that they've ever made, including The Matrix. And I will debate anybody about that movie, that it's not actually as good as everybody makes it out to be. I mean, how did Cypher get in and out all the time, right? Was he the one? I didn't get it. Anyway, the Wachowskis, you know, here I've done kind of the same thing. They're listed as creators on IMDb. I don't know what that means. They're not listed as writers. So presumably they just, I don't know, conjure these episodes as they go. I never watched Lost, but I imagine this show feels like Lost. In that you feel like there's this big mystery, and the longer it builds without you knowing what it actually is or having any clue about what it actually is, the more disappointed you're going to be at the end, no matter what the big reveal is. But again, haven't watched that much. Other things I liked about the show, well, I shouldn't say I particularly like it. If you really like to see the characters nude, you want to check out the second episode, because I'm pretty sure you see at least 7 out of 8 of the characters at least shirtless, if not more than that. So that's pretty nice. Netflix has really decided that they want to get into Game of Thrones territory and you know, titillate the audience. But the Wachowskis' conjuring, as I might call it here, rather than writing, strikes me as a bit stereotypical and it's kind of surprising. I mean, props. Okay, so this show features a transgender character played by a transgender person who has been written by another transgender person. So I think that is like a trifecta. And that's probably one of the first times that's happened in a major property like this. So props to that. But that said, transgender character, the biggest arc that she has in the first 3 episodes is that she's on a bike at a pride parade and she falls off and hurts herself and goes to the hospital. Okay, fine, whatever. Trans people go to pride parade, that's fine. There's a cop who's from the city of Chicago, the city in which both Dean and I reside and record this very podcast. I'm getting very, like, I feel like I'm getting a little bit Rush Limbaugh-y here on you. I'm sorry about that. This cop, white guy, shirtless most of the show, nice guy, seems like a nice guy, seems like a good cop, finds a kid who's probably related to a gang, shot somebody, has been shot himself, wants to take the kid to the hospital, and his partner says, just let him die. Just let him die. No one's going to care. He's going to kill other people. Just let him die. Okay, fine, whatever. We know cops don't have very strong positive feelings towards, well, anybody, but particularly not, you know, at least in the recent climate. You know what? We're not going to go there. Anyway, I can believe that his partner would do that. Then he takes the kid to the hospital, and while the kid's bleeding out on his bulletproof vest he's wearing, this hospital administrator or nurse he's talking to says, we don't treat him here. We don't treat gunshot wounds here. We couldn't treat gunshot wounds. We treated gunshot wounds. We never treat anybody else. We get it. Chicago's violent. People get shot. But she took the Hippocratic Oath. She sees a person bleeding. It doesn't matter if it's Hitler or Stalin. She's supposed to be taking care of that person. She finally does, but it just felt strange. His father ostracizes him and all his father's cop buddy friends for the same reason, because he didn't let a person die. As though that's something noble that a cop should do, right? That, you know, they should always just expect the bad guys, want them to die and not treat them like they're human beings. But, you know, okay, fine. Cop show, we've seen lots of that. That's, you know, that's fine. That's two out of eight, you're saying, Ed. 2 out of 8. That's not too bad. I mean, if 2 out of the 8 characters are doing some cliche things, that's not too bad. I can deal with that. Okay, well, then there's a character who's from Africa who drives a tour bus van and wants nothing more than to just get some AIDS medication for his mother. And he idolizes America. He drives a van called Van Damme. There are other people who drive similarly action 80s themed vans who are competitors of his, and he gets robbed by some I don't know, presumably drug dealers who are thugs who take his medication. Okay, a little bit on the nose. Sure, why not? Oh wait, there's the Korean girl who's really good at martial arts. Oh, all right. She seems to work in an office. Not really sure what she does for a living, but, like, you know, boxes men on a kickboxing circuit and does quite well at it herself. Yeah, and then there's a girl who's kind of like, you know, kind of like hip looking. She's got like blonde hair and she's got like a streak in her hair because, you know, she's like a rebel. She DJs. And then she ends up with a bag randomly that has a lot of cash and drugs in it. I mean, come on. Like, seriously, this is like cliches 101. I couldn't do much with it. And it's put me in an odd position because I've run into a lot of people who really like this show, and Dean's not here to give his words on the show. So, and I know Tim doesn't watch TV. He's pretty much just audio specific. So I just want to hear some positive feedback on it. Now, I have to admit, we always know that, you know, in this show, we only watch 3 episodes. So maybe, just maybe, I missed something. In fact, someone told me that in this show, which, as far as I can tell, has 12 episodes, that if you really want to get the true experience, you should skip the first 4 episodes. So 1/3 of the show, you don't even need. I don't know if that's a sign of good writing. I can think of some examples, Parks and Rec, for example, where there are legitimate reasons why you would want to skip certain parts of it. You can skip the whole first season of Parks and Rec. Most people who like the show don't even really consider that to be part of the show. I get it. Training Wheels and things like that, right? With network comedies and things, that happens. With something like this that is expected to be sort of polished and brought out to the masses so that you can binge watch it on a weekend and feel really bad about yourself, I expect more. I don't want pilots. I don't want stuff you're networking, stuff that you're testing out, you know? I want the finished product. So when someone tells me that you can skip 1/3 of the show, I just say, well, why don't I just skip the show in general? There's a lot of stuff out there you could watch. Orange is the New Black, great show, has a season, just came on. Could watch that instead. You could catch up on some of the other ones that we've covered on this show. You could catch up on Daredevil. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying there are other options. That's all. So, you know, if you have an opinion on this show that you really, really like it, and, you know, and I know there are people out there like that, let me know. Just message me. You can email me at feedback@primeflixpod.com. That's one way to get a hold of me. You can get us at PrimeFlix on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And let us know what you think, and tell me how I'm wrong. If you know where Dean is, maybe you could leave that as a message as well. And I could stop worrying about him, because he hasn't called in a while. And I just think about him out there in the world all by himself, and it's just a scary thought. And, you know, this is a podcast, guys, audio. We know that iTunes is the king of podcasts still. You might be listening to it through Pocket Casts or Stitcher or TuneIn or something like that. And by all means, keep doing that. Feel free to review it on those services. But if you happen to have an iTunes account and you're not using it for anything, head on over there, drop us some stars, leave us a review. That's how we get our words into the eardrums of more of the general public. And more people like you, that gets us to keep doing this show. You can also always check out past episodes. If you don't want to use any of those services, you want to use a web browser, you can go to primeflixpod.com. That's our website. And you can listen to all of our past episodes, some with Dean on them. I assure you that if this is the first time you listen to this show, there's actually another host. His name's Dean. He likes hamburgers. He's a big hamburger guy, though he'd never say that. He's not too big of a fan of scary films. He's an actor by training, so much more qualified to speak on things than I am. And I think most of the regular audience would agree the show's a lot better when he's involved. So I'll try to make sure that I find him and get him back in the studio to record the next one. But until then, I've been Ed, and we will see you, well, we will, I'll, maybe we will see you on the internet. Are you shaving, Tim? Why don't you just play the track? Just play us out. There you go. Thanks. See you next week, guys. We'll be right back.